Simon Brett, starring Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, and Celia Imrie, Charlotte. Episode 2, Educated Guesswork.
I've decided I'm not going to university.
I beg your pardon, Emily.
I said, Mum, I've decided not to go to university.
Oh, very amusing, Emily, very good.
I mean it.
Listen, you have been going to university virtually from the minute you were born. Your father and I got you into the right playgroup, which led you to going to the right junior school, which led to the right senior school, where you are being well enough taught to achieve A-levels of quite high enough standard to get you into a university. Maybe not Oxbridge, although I haven't entirely given up hopes of that, but a respectable university. And by that, I don't mean one of those jumped-up pollies with silly names. Your father and I have paid for your education every step of the way, and what we've been investing in all this time is your place at university. So that is where you will be going in September.
Why?
Why? What do you mean, why, Emily? Because that is what people of our class in education do.
You didn't go to university?
No. No, I admit I didn't. After A-levels, it was, well, family circumstances, and then I did get married rather young. Too young, possibly. Too young, probably. Too young, definitely, when I come to think about it. But that is not the point. It is not relevant to the fact that you are going to university.
No, I'm not.
Emily, I do find it very tiresome when you're just being deliberately perverse.
I'm not being deliberately perverse. I actually find it very tiresome when you treat my every word as if it's said to antagonise you.
Well, most of them are.
No, a lot of what I say is stuff I've really thought about. Reasoned arguments, that's what it is. But then you've never been any good at understanding reasoned argument. Your intellectual processes are all knee-jerk reactions, aren't they, Mum?
Call me Mummy.
There's the perfect example. I say Mum, you say call me Mummy. One of your typical knee-jerk reactions. You don't think about the merits of the case. You don't stop to ask yourself why I call you Mum.
Because I know full well why you do it. Just to annoy me.
No, I do it because I feel more comfortable with it. Mum sounds warm, friendly. It sounds like you and I might possibly have some affection for each other, whereas saying Mummy all the time makes me sound like a right stuck-up, toffee-nosed, middle-class git.
There is nothing wrong with being middle-class, Emily. The British middle-class has made this country what it is today.
Well, I wouldn't advise them to boast about it. Look at the level of unemployment.
All right, all right. Had your little spat, Emily. Now that's out of the way. Can we settle down and have a bit of civilised conversation?
About what?
Something serious, something intelligent.
Like the fact that I don't want to go to university?
Emily!
That's serious. I'm absolutely serious about it. And it's intelligent. I have thought this through, you know. I have thought about the advantages and disadvantages of going to university.
There are no disadvantages.
For me! I've been thinking about what's right for me. As an adult individual.
You, an adult, that's rich.
And I have decided that for me, university's not the right option. For the things I want to do with my life, I need...
You don't know what you want to do with your life.
Well, how do you know? You've never asked me.
I know. Believe me, I know my own daughter.
Mum, I'm not going to university.
Emily, I'm afraid I am going to have to get your father to talk to you about this.
Why? What does he know about the subject?
He was at university. He'll be able to spell out the benefits to you. Roger! Roger!
And what's more, Emily, I had the absolutely best time of my entire life. Didn't draw a sober breath for 3 years. Did lots of rowing. Used to go out with the 8, row bloody hard, then hit the pubs and get totally smashed. We used to have this pub crawl. Townley's Totter, we used to call it, after a chap called Townley, who was the only one who ever completed it. Pretty high up with the NatWest Bank these days, yes. Rules were, you had to go into each of these pubs, sink 2 pints in 5 minutes, move on to the next one. And the great thing was, there were forfeits. If you fell over or threw up or had to go off and have a slash, you had to drink an extra pint of the next pub. Bloody great times, let me tell you. And some of the people I met then have been really useful in my career since. Often helps when the negotiating gets tough. If you know the chap you're up against, if you can say, Remember that time on Tomlin's Totter, old man, when you threw up over the policeman? Great times. No, you take my word for it, Emily. It's university that turns a gauche young adolescent into a mature adult.
Really? Well, if university is the way you describe it, I think I'd prefer to stay as a gauche young adolescent. Thank you very much.
I think I did too much of the hard sun, or what?
Maybe you should have mentioned academic work a bit,
Roger.
Yes. Maybe I should. Mind you, it's not as if I actually did any work. Too bloody pissed all the time.
Well, it is up to her, Victoria.
Up to her? What on earth do you mean, up to her? She isn't the one who paid for all that education. Goodness, last night, you know, Anna, I was awake for hours and I was working out just how much I will have paid over the years.
How much Roger will have paid over the years?
Well, it's the same difference. Everything we have is mutual. Ours is just that kind of marriage.
Ah, right.
But have you any idea how much it works out per A-level?
No, I haven't, and I'm not really terribly interested. What I am interested in, though, is what it is Emily wants to do for which university won't be necessary.
What?
Well, oh, come on, you said she didn't want to go to university because it wouldn't help her achieve the things she wants to do with her life.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things she wants to do with her life?
I don't know, do I?
You haven't asked her?
No, of course I haven't asked her. That's exactly what she wants me to do.
Well, it sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Anna, you don't know Emily the way I know her. I've known her very intimately for the last 17 years, and I know precisely how that devious little mind of hers works. Everything is for effect. She just does things to shock. I mean, like last year, when she announced she was going to work in a soup kitchen over Christmas.
You don't think she was doing that simply because she wanted to help people less fortunate than herself?
Oh, no. It was to get at me. That's the motivation for everything Emily does. And this nonsense about not going to university is the same thing all over again. She's just dying for me to ask for her reasons.
Then surely the least you can do is ask
her. But I am not going to play into her hands like that. I can just see the expression of triumph that had come into her face as she announces that she's going to, I don't know, live in a squat in Earl's Court, or go and protest about the export of live animals somewhere, or try to stop a bypass by living up a tree, or something else equally selfish.
If I were to ask her her reasons for not wanting to go to university, would you regard that as playing into her hands?
You can do what you like.
Right. Well, I think I might have a word with Emily. At least get the facts sorted out. Don't you think that would be a good idea? I will, then. Is she in this evening?
No, she's out having a meal with Charlotte, of all people. You know, Charlotte has these antennae. She can pick up dissension between me and Emily at 500 miles, and then she instantly comes swooping in to take Emily off and make the rift even bigger.
I don't.
Yes, she does. Not that it worries me. I think Emily's had a bellyful of her aunt's posturing over the years. She sees right through it nowadays. Poor kid. Having to spend a whole evening having her ear burnt by Charlotte. I don't envy her, do you?
Charlotte can be very entertaining.
So can a... Anna, you don't think Emily's turned against university because she wants to go to drama school, do you?
I wouldn't have thought that...
Oh, no! That's not why she's seeing Charlotte, is it? It isn't bear thinking of. All that money lavished on her education and a daughter of mine ends up as an actress?
Well, no. And I think in my case, not going to university was a very positive bonus. I mean, just like you, I decided that wasn't the career path I wanted to follow.
Well, Mum said you didn't go to university because you hadn't got any A-level.
Oh, yes. Well, Victoria would say that, wouldn't she?
Why? Have you got some A-levels?
No, not A-levels as such, no. But that wasn't because I failed them. It was because I didn't take them.
Oh, yes. Mum said the school didn't reckon you'd pass any and suggested you left before the sixth form.
Honestly, the length Victoria will go to show me off in a bad light. She's so transparent. She always has been seethingly jealous of me. I suppose just because I was that much younger and had a more relaxed manner with people and was, well, it has to be said, a lot more attractive. But I'm amazed how little attempt she makes to hide her feelings. I mean, if I were as jealous as she is, and in fact I'm not. I'm not jealous of her, obviously. But not actually jealous of anyone. I'm just one of those lucky people who, as the French put it, fit their skin. I feel at ease with myself. But if I did ever feel jealousy, I'd disguise it a bit. I mean, you look so pathetic and vulnerable if you wear your most embarrassing emotions on your sleeve all the time. One has to have a little subterfuge in this life, you know. But your mother's never really had those kind of social skills.
Would you really say that lying was a social skill, Charlotte?
Oh, I say. Very sharp and satirical. Put me firmly in my place, haven't you? All right, teacher. I feel very properly wrapped over the knuckles. Am I forgiven? Anyway, if you do get any more aggro from your parents about going to university, remember that I'm right behind you.
Thank you.
It's your life and it's up to you to do what you want with it.
That's what I think.
What do you actually want to do with it?
Well,
you know, Emily, you do remind me so much of me at your age. I had parental opposition too, you know. I was so determined to be an actress. I knew I had it in me. I knew the talent was there, just burgeoning, just waiting to be realised, fulfilled. And my parents went on and on about all kinds of other careers for me, and I just had to be terribly firm with them and say, no, no, no. All I want to do is go to drama school.
But I thought you had to have A-levels to get into the best drama schools.
What? Oh, no, well, things were different then. We are talking a few years back.
Yeah.
Not that many years back, but... Anyway, I never wanted to do RADA or Central or one of the obvious drama schools. I think they do tend to be rather sausage factories, you know. Produce actors who are all kind of in the same mould, and I wanted to go somewhere that more sort of brought out the individuality in its students.
So where did you go?
Ooh?
What drama school did you go to?
Oh, it was... You wouldn't have heard of it. Wonderful reputation at the time. You know, always with these places, it's down to one or two charismatic individuals who really make creative things happen, and then they move on and suddenly everything goes downhill.
Where was it?
It's closed now. Just had this brief kind of flowering. Luckily, just while I was there, produced this wonderful generation of actors, and then nothing.
Who?
Sorry?
Who with this wonderful generation of actors?
Oh, the names probably wouldn't mean much to you. Not telestar sort of names, just real actors, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Well, actors who are wonderfully clever and full of truth and danger, but who'd rather go out to the provinces to find interesting, challenging work than succumb to all the compromises demanded by television or the West End.
Unsuccessful actors, you mean?
No, not exactly.
Actors like you?
No! Have you ever thought of going into the business, Emily?
What, me? Going into the theatre?
Yes.
Good God, no.
Ah.
No, I want to mix with real people, with real values.
Ah. Well, Giorgio, darling, can we have another bottle of the house red?
And have you regretted it, Anna?
Not going to university? I regret nothing.
Oh, wow, that's very bold.
Yes. The full Edith Piaf routine. No, I regret nothing because I think regrets are pointless emotions. What happened, happened. One can feel sorry that the circumstances in which it happened weren't different. Nothing's gained by regret. Stupid things I've done, hurtful things I've said, or did, or said at the time, they were part of me. And not a part I'm proud of, but undeniably me.
So, not going to university?
Time wasn't right. My parents were already getting frail. It didn't happen. End of story. And you?
Me?
You not wanting to go to university.
Look, has Mum set you up to this? Have you been drafted in as a hired interrogator?
No. Emily, give me a little credit. I wouldn't do that. You know I wouldn't. I'm not going to be used as a blunt instrument by Victoria.
No, sorry.
I'm asking because I want to know. Your mother is so in shock at the idea of your not going to university that she hasn't thought to inquire into the reasons for your decision.
Yeah, it's typical, isn't it?
Yes, maybe. It's a man, isn't it?
What?
All this business about university.
How did you know?
It usually is.
Huh.
What's his name?
Dell.
Ah.
Oh, says it all, really, doesn't it? And imagine the palpitations it would give Mum to think of her little daughter going around with somebody called Dell.
Is he deeply unsuitable?
Well, he's extremely suitable for me. I love him.
I mean, unsuitable from Victoria's point of view.
Well, who cares about her point of view? She wouldn't recognise love if it came up and punched her in the mouth.
I think maybe you underestimate
anyway,
your mother.
Dell's the only man I've ever loved.
But what about...
No, really loved. Until I met him, I didn't know the meaning of the word.
Ah. And I take it he's not keen on the idea of university.
No, he doesn't believe in it. He says it's part of a bourgeois conspiracy to perpetuate elitism.
Oh, right, I see.
And why should I disappear to some far-off provincial town and spend 3 years there reading irrelevant books when all I actually want to do is be with Dell all the time?
Good question. He's local, is he?
He lives in Penge.
Ah.
Oh, yes, very much the wrong side of the track, so far as nice middle-class Bethlehem people like Mum are concerned.
And from Victoria's point of view, just how unsuitable is he?
Oh, utterly, entirely.
What does he do?
He's unemployed.
Well, that's not his fault.
No, it's the fault of this uncaring, toffee-nosed, fascist government. Oh, no. In every way you can think of, Dell couldn't be more unsuitable.
Emily, he's not black, is he?
No. Far worse than that from Mummy and Daddy's point of view.
Huh?
He's common!
Hello?
Vicky, darling?
Oh, it's you.
Yes, little old me. You all right, Vicky, love?
Why shouldn't I be?
No reason, no reason.
So why have you rung?
Just to say hello, see how you are.
Charlotte, you never ring without an ulterior motive. Either you want something or you want to crow about something.
Vicky, you are horrid to me. It never seems to occur to you that I might be ringing up to tell you something really helpful.
No, you're right, it doesn't.
Well, just listen to what I have to say, and then maybe you'll be less cynical about my motives in future.
Oh, yes. What is it?
It's about Emily.
Really?
And all this fuss about her going to university or not going to university.
Oh, right. I gather, incidentally, that you didn't make much headway with Emily the other evening.
What? Oh, no. Well, that was no surprise, really. It's very difficult to make much headway with someone who's in retentive denial.
I beg your pardon?
You see, I understand exactly what's been going on with Emily.
You do?
Yes. I've been reading this book.
Oh?
It's called What We Mean When We Say What We Mean.
This is not another of your self-help books of psychobabble, is it?
No, it certainly isn't. It's a serious work of scientific investigation.
Oh, yes.
Both of the authors have got letters after their names.
Oh, it's easy enough to get letters after your name.
Only if you go to university. You see, what's happening with Emily is that she's challenging the myth.
She's doing what?
We all grow up pulled between the twin poles of myth and reality. But the situation's complicated by the fact that within us there are two selves, the child self and the adult self. The child self is attracted to the pole of myth, and the adult self is attracted to the pole of reality. But there is a conflict between these two impulses. The child self cherishes the world of myth, but still wants to keep in touch with the world of reality. The adult self recognises the ultimate importance of the world of reality, but is still unwilling totally to relinquish its hold on the world of myth. Myth, if you like, represents the creative imagination, and at the same time is comprised of the memory store of each individual's authorities.
Each individual's what?
Authorities.
And what the hell is an authoritor when it's at home?
Very appropriate you should say at home, Vicky. Because authoritors for a child are very often the close influences of its immediate domestic circle. Like, for instance, its parents or grandparents. Authoritors are those who define standards in moral or ethical dilemmas. They could include religious teachers or even media-generated morale ambiences. And
Charlotte!
Anyway, you see, this is what is going on with Emily.
What is?
The child in her is being weaned away from the world of myth towards the world of reality, but the adult in her is still trying to cling to the myth comfort blanket.
The myth comfort blanket?
Yes, by denying the reality quotient of the myth, while at the same time trying to retain its comfort quotient. As I said, retentive denial. So you see, Emily, having grown up with you and Roger as authorities, part of whose myth, in other words, the cocoon of myth you created around her as a child, was that she would one day go to university. Now, as the adult in her tries to pull the child, kicking and screaming away from the world of myth into the world of reality, she's reacting by denying one of the myth pillars of her childhood cocoon and saying she doesn't want to go to university. So you see, Vicky, it's quite simple, isn't it?
No, Charlotte. You are, though.
So, what do you want me to say exactly, Victoria?
I leave that to you. Just so long as it has the desired effect. Uh-huh. It's simply a matter of marshalling your arguments.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you spend all day doing at work, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Some head of department in the company wants to spend more money than he's been allocated in your budget. You marshal your arguments to persuade him not to. That's your job, isn't it?
Well, there's a bit more to it than that.
Well, then that's all you've got to do with Emily. Marshal your arguments. Explain to her, in a dispassionate, unemotional way, why she has to go to university. And if she still won't listen to reason, tell her you'll cut off her allowance.
Mm-hmm.
No. That young lady needs to be made aware which side her bread's buttered. Everything she has, she owes to us. It's about time she was reminded of her obligations.
Right. So that's what you want me to do. remind her of her obligations?
Yes. There are times when, as a parent, you have to come the heavy father.
Oh, too true, too true.
And there are some things that come better from you than they do from me.
Couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. But I'm not totally convinced this is one of those things, Victoria.
It is. You take my word for it, it is.
Right. Okay. The thing is that I've always had a bit of difficulty getting Emily to see my point of view.
No, for heaven's sake, Roger. She's only 17. You're nearly 50. Surely you're not telling me you're afraid of your own daughter.
No, good heavens, no. She has got quite a sarcastic tongue on her, though, hasn't she?
I can't believe I'm hearing this, Roger. Emily is your daughter. You're her father. You tell her what to do. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Of course, modern theories of parenting do recommend a less prescriptive approach. Discussing issues, having things out in the open.
Oh, I agree with that entirely. On most subjects, we are not at all prescriptive to Emily. We discuss issues, we have things out in the open.
Right.
But when it comes to whether or not she goes to university, we just tell her that she is bloody well going to do it. It's all right. Got that, Roger?
Yes. Yes, right. Oh, that's Emily coming in now.
Yes, now is the moment you're going to do it, Roger.
Is it?
Emily, could you come in here, please? Your father wants a word with you.
Oh, that sounds very ominous. Okay, what is it, Dad?
Go on, Roger. There's no point in beating about the bush.
No, that's true. Emily.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, your mother and I...
But particularly you.
Yep, particularly I felt that things can only go so far.
What things?
Important things. Things that are going to matter for the rest of your life.
I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Well, anyway, there comes a point when one has to put sentimentality on one side, one has to do away with the social niceties, one has to just come out with things and call a spade a spade, and this is one of those moments.
Hmm.
So, what I am saying is, not to put too fine a point on it, without prevarication and regardless of the immediate consequences...
Oh, for heaven's sake, Roger, you're hopeless. What your father is saying, Emily, is that, like it or not, there is no way you're not going to go to university.
Oh. Okay. That's cool.
Cool? What does that mean?
It means, yes, all right, I'll try for university.
Oh.
Is there anything else you wanted to say? Because if there isn't, I've got some work I need to get on with.
Well, my softly, softly approach seemed to do the trick, didn't it? You know, though I say it myself, I've always known the right way to deal with Emily.
So, what happened to Dell?
Oh, he was just unsuitable.
But I thought you loved him.
What, Dell? No, he was a terrible poseur.
Oh.
Awful inverted snob. I mean, if you hadn't got any money, and you go around all the time saying that the money of people who have got money ought to be divided equally amongst everyone else, well, that's just sour grapes, isn't it?
Is it? I'm not quite sure.
Quentin says it is.
Ah. He's good news, is he, Quentin?
Oh, he's wonderful. I'm so in love with him.
Great.
He's the first man I've ever loved.
But I thought...
The really loved. Till I met him, I didn't know the meaning of the word.
Right, okay.
And he's awfully clever. His teachers say he's an absolute cert for an Oxford scholarship.
Ah.
Oh, I'm going to work so hard, Anna.
To get into Oxford yourself?
Yeah, you bet. I'm not going to allow someone as dishy as Quentin loose on his own up there.
You sure you won't have any wine?
No, thanks, no. I've given up drinking alcohol.
Fine. Is Quentin teetotal by any chance?
What? Oh, yes, he is, actually. But that's nothing to do with my decision.
Oh, no, of course not.
He's a Christian, too.
Is he? Well, that's a novelty in this day and age.
Sad reflection on the state of our society, isn't it, that you have to say that?
Yes, I suppose it is.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot more about faith recently.
Have you?
Yes. I mean, long before I met Quentin. It's got nothing to do with him.
Oh, no, of course not. Do you see a lot of them?
Only Saturday evenings.
Ah.
Well, we've both got so much studying to do, can't eat into weekdays, can we?
No. Have you introduced him to your parents?
Quentin? Good heavens, no.
Why not?
I'm not daft.
But surely they wouldn't disapprove of him.
No, but I'm pretty sure he'd disapprove of them. They're just so materialistic. And they have no faith at all. I mean, they hardly even believe in God. Mum didn't go to university, whereas his parents are both.
In episode 2 of No Commitments, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, and Celia Imrie, Charlotte. Jonathan Coy played Roger, and Lisa Coleman, Emily. The music was composed by Elizabeth Parker of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Anne Jobson.